All right, 9:40 a.m. on a Tuesday Pacific time. You hear a little Christopher Cross. You know it is time to get on the waves with our friends at SailSportTalk.com. Once again, SailSportTalk.com. And co-hosting this segment with me is Karen Lyle. Karen, you're back in America. Is that right?
Yes, I came in yesterday afternoon, went straight into a recording session with Kendall Ross Bean on an art on piano project, and I am actually now in Union Square watching a 1912 Steinway Grand that was rebuilt by Piano Finders being set up by a piano mover for a photo shoot. How's that?
Pretty
in
cool.
In fact, the piano only has two legs on it. Now they're putting the third leg on right this moment.
As I told you once before, I grew up literally across the street from Kendall Bean, and his sister Linda was me and my brother's babysitter.
Oh, is that? I forgot about that. That was so crazy.
Yeah, it's a small world.
Yeah, she's Linda Michelle, and her middle name is Michelle, so she goes by Michelle now. And she was just out here, so it's a small world, Rick. I didn't know you back then because I didn't know Kendall till 1979. So,
all right, well. Speaking of, we're big followers, as you know, of SailGP, and Dylan Fletcher had some points to prove to notch up on the leaderboard with his first ever event. He won as Britain's SailGP skipper in Sydney last weekend, and he was showing it that he could do it, quote-unquote, flying solo, because Ben Ainslie, as you know, who led Britain's most successful America's campaign but was defeated by New Zealand and Barcelona, he picked Fletcher as the co-helm for his SailGP F50. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, what an exciting win for the British team. You know, there's no question that that is something that is, hard fought for. These guys are so good, and they're so close when they get into these races that you just never know which way it's going to go. However, Tom Slingsby, as you know, he's been in our studio. He was number four on our interviews for SailSport Talk. I mean, he is conceding the defeat and saying, you know what, he won and it's the way it goes. But, I'm sure that he is not happy to be off that podium at the moment.
So how many races in a season is SailGP?
Well, it started out with six, and so it has been expanding. So I think we're now at 11, going on 12, which means one every month. They actually don't even have a pause between them, and that's because, and I think all of the teams have been sold. So the model for SailGP is that they have, is that SailGP, which was set up by Larry Ellison initially, financed by Larry in the first 3 years, and then he sold off each of the teams, but he still owns all the boats. And so all of the upgrades and all the decisions on what's going to happen with the technology is done by the SailGP Corporation and race. And then the teams are owned by different people who basically lease the right to be able to use the boat and sell sponsorships and all that kind of stuff.
I think a lot of times in sports, you need someone young and, to get the fans interested, to bring people into a sport that needs fans. And the biggest example of that ever, of course, is Tiger Woods, not just young and fantastic, but, he was Asian and African-American. He brought so many people in that could identify with him. I look at Livy Dunn for college gymnastics, which no one cared about, but she's a TikTok star and her boyfriend is number one overall pick, pitching all-star pitcher for the Pirates. I bring this all up because at the Vendée, the youngest finisher is a French girl named Violette d'Orange, who is only 23. She went across the channel solo as a 15-year-old. She was on the waves a month longer than Charlie Dalin, of course, who won it in less than 65 days. She was more than 3 months on the water by herself. But when she left, she had 50,000 followers on Instagram. When she came in, she had 500,000 followers on Instagram. She has legions of fans. Yeah, TikTok and Facebook. Maybe, just maybe, this is what this sport needed. We needed a Violette d'Orange.
That's right. Well, when I was at the Vendée Globe press conference before the race started in France, there was a 16-year-old, and she was on social media, basically an influencer, and she had basically worked her way into the media conference, realizing that this thing existed. And she was she spoke English a little bit, but so we had a conversation. She says, "Yeah, I just called them up and said, 'Hey, you need me there. Why don't you have me there?'" And she was so energetic and enthusiastic because, of course, you know what the press conferences are like, Rick. You've done a lot of these, and you know where you've got all these seasoned reporters from all over the world, and they're, you know, they've been doing this, you know, for years. You know, they know the beat, they know each other, and then this is 16-year-old coming in with the future, with the new wave, right?
Yeah, and the thing that I think is too is that, you know, I mentioned, you know, Livy Dunn, who is like a supermodel. If I may be so bold, Violette Dorange looks like the girl next door. It totally, she doesn't even look that athletic. I mean, it's just totally someone that I think that, you know, like, oh, that looks like me. I can do this as well. But as I mentioned, she is a stud. Crossing the channel by herself as a solo at 15 years old. But I can only imagine at 23 years old being on the by herself in perilous ocean waves for 90 days. So I'll ask you, Karen Lyle, how long do you think you could do the Vendée by yourself?
Well, once you're out there, you're in it. And, you try not to go out in unsafe conditions and so forth. But if you're there, you know, you're basically wanting to live. So you're not gonna let anything stop you from that. And also, you know, these guys go into this with a lot of preparation. They spend a couple of years, you know, basically figuring out, you know, how to make sure that the boat is safe. They have a team on shore. They spend time figuring out where every little thing goes, you know, so they can pick it up at night, you know where the tools are, know where the, you know, all of the ways to repair things. They practice. And so there's a lot that goes into something like this. So I would never want to go on a race like this. In fact, they wouldn't allow me to go on a race in the Vendée Globe without having proven myself with a certain amount of hours on the sea and in, you know, semi-perilous conditions to make sure that I wouldn't die.
Very good. We're speaking with Karen Lyle from SailSportsTalk.com. I noticed, too, that the amount of high schools and colleges that have sailing teams, you know, we kind of just think, oh, it's, you know, the Ivy Leagues and, you know, the Stanfords of the world. I now see that it is up to 170 United States colleges that compete in what they call the Intercollegiate Sailing Association. And one person, I don't know if this is true, but they think one of the reasons it's rising is that it's non-carbon, you know, non-processed oil travel. It's just the wind, so it's good on Mother Nature too, huh?
Yeah, I think that probably is more of an impact for this generation, you know, because they're really concerned about these things. This is their future, right? But also, I think that as they're exposed to the sport, they get really excited about it because it's not just the sport of sailing. There's politics. There's, you know, there's fashion. There's you know, interrelations between different countries. There's, you know, the courage and the charisma that it takes to, you know, kind of pull something off like these different races and so forth. So it's something that really is quite amazing for them to see. And as soon as they see it, they're going, "Oh man, I want to know more about that."
So, for you, when you think about the talents, because, you know, talents evaluators in baseball, it's pretty easy. What's the miles per hour and the spin rate on his pitches for a hitter? You know, what's the contact rate, the launch angle? How does he do on breaking balls? How does he do on fastballs? What would you say as a sailing enthusiast when you would look at someone young? Would it be how they handled pressure or when they knew to tack before the wind came because they have some sort of innate sixth sense? What are some of the things that maybe a talent scout would look for?
Well, first of all, it's not going to be innate. It's something that you have to get some experience knowing how to, you know, feel where the wind is coming from, understanding how to handle the boat, you know, how to tack, how the boat maneuvers. Usually in the conversations that I've had with, especially like the women who did the first Women's America's Cup in Barcelona, and they were talking about what they would advise for young people who were thinking about going into the sport. They said, get on a boat, anytime, anywhere, and be able to just go out there and do as many different things as you can, because it's just experience on the water that really is the thing that starts you out. And then, you know, what happens is, especially with the mat racing that they're doing in the Olympics and the America's Cup and SailGP, which means they're sailing on other people's boats, so they don't have to have the money to sail on it. They just need the skill. They basically just need to be able to get on a boat that they haven't sailed on before and be able to handle the conditions. And so knowing how to work together as a team, if it's a team sport, knowing how to do things solo. Now, that's for the races. When it comes to the races that you have match racing, when you have something like the Vandeglob, which is a circumnavigation solo experience, that's an entirely different thing. You need to have time out there in the ocean.
Last question. You know, I just think about today's world in 2025. U.S. Sailing announced recently that they're going to have a hands-on learning in the STEM fields. British Racing announced they're looking for some clean trash incinerators on their boats. Everybody is trying, kind of like my previous question, to say how green they are, right?
Well, you know, I mean, it is a green sport, so why not? Use whatever you can to get people out there on the water having fun.
All right, Karen Lyle, remember, everybody should go to sailsporttalk.com. Check it out, as always, for all the latest sailing news. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll do it next week.
It sounds great. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person, Rick. Glad to be back in the San Francisco Bay Area.